Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got Cruz. 35, 30.
Rogan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome into Big Blue Kickoff Live. It is a Tuesday afternoon. Myself, John Schmelk, and we welcome everybody, of course, on Twitter. This is really the next 2 days, John, are going to be, it's been a build-up,
We're finally here!
48 hours. I know, we're finally here. It's unbelievable. You know how to be a part of the show, 201-939-4513. Also, again, on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. We also have a very special guest, I think one of the best in the business. I know you're a huge fan.
Yeah.
His name is Matt Miller. He's with Bleacher Report. I want to say this is his third year as a draft analyst for Bleacher Report, and he's going to be joining us on the show momentarily just to kind of, get a lay of the land in regard to – because I feel like each and every week it's changing,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
I feel like – for a while, it's been Leonard Floyd, and then some speculation of Miles Jack falling. And I want to say more and more, heading into Thursday, it's more and more about the offensive linemen and the thought process that maybe Tunsil might fall. Maybe when the Giants pick at 10, Conklin and or Stanley might be on the board.
Absolutely.
So I feel like leading up to this draft, it's there's been a lot of talk about the offensive linemen.
And I think this is a great day to talk to Matt. I actually booked this with Matt about 3 weeks ago. I wanted to make sure he was our last guy we got on before the draft, because every couple weeks or every week, he publishes his draft notebook, which is kind of what he's hearing from around the league, who he thinks is going to go where. And Anita, we've gone through ad nauseum who the players are, what they do, what they bring to the field, how they might translate to the NFL. We know all of that stuff. Now we're trying to figure out who's going to be there when the Giants pick, what our guys are hearing, what teams are thinking about certain players. This would be a great day to get a feel from Matt exactly what he's hearing from around the league and who he thinks the Giants might be interested in, but even as interesting, who the teams before the Giants are likely to select, so we know who's going to be there and be an option for Big Blue, period.
Yes, and a quick note, by the way, players are here at the facility today. They're being made available to the media. I mean, I don't know about you, but I had to park I had a trek to come into the facility.
Bad traffic?
I had to park in the players' parking lot today.
Oh, really?
No, just the amount of people that are here
today.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just, every media person is here today. And why not? Getting ready for, of course, Thursday night and then, of course, through the weekend with the other rounds to follow. But I'm excited to get into the locker room and talk to some of the Giants players and see, are they as geeked up about this draft as the fans and as we are? Who would they like to see the Giants target? We know the Giants spent a lot of money on the defensive side of the ball. I'm curious to get in that locker room today, John, and kind of get a feel from these guys, what side of the coin are they on? Is there a player out there in college football? It's a quick note here. You wouldn't believe this, but a lot of NFL players don't watch NFL football.
Oh, no, they don't. Absolutely not.
But they love college football.
Right, because they all watch their alumni.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
So I'm curious. I wonder. Is there a guy? Is there a college player out there that
I hate
Vernon or JPP's would love for the Giants to go after?
I don't want to burst your bubble on the air, Anita, but unfortunately, the locker room itself is not open. They're bringing players into the auditorium. So
okay.
I'm sorry about that. I hate to burst your bubble on the air, but I don't want you to get too excited and then you get disappointed.
Hopefully, somebody will ask those questions.
Absolutely.
But we do have our special guest on, and again, we want to thank everybody on Twitter. Continue to watch Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com. Let's now bring in our guest, Matt Miller from Bleacher Report. Matt, what is up, my friend?
How's it going, guys? Good to talk to you again.
Hey,
how are you?
Matt.
I mean, John and I were talking about it. We both feel that you're one of the best in the business. I mean, I had the pleasure of working with you for two seasons. But, I mean, you kind of feel like it's 2 days away. You see the light at the end of the tunnel. What are you feeling right now as we're getting closer and closer to Thursday night?
Well, this is an insane week, as you guys know. So everything happens fast and furious. My phone is ringing off the hook. People I had one call at 1:30 last night, another at 7 this morning, because teams are digging, trying to find out every little bit of information they can about what the rest of the league is doing. So this whole week will be a blur, and then I'll take a deep breath and roll right into 2017 draft. So it's a year-round business now, which is a great thing, but it can be a little bit exhausting too.
Now, Matt, I think I see your latest and final draft notebook up on Bleacher Report. What are you hearing in terms of what's going on near the top of this draft? And I think two interesting teams that are really going to set the stage for the remainder of the top 10. We know the quarterbacks 1-2, whatever order they're in, we think Goff then Wentz. Mm-hmm. How about the Chargers and the Cowboys? Because I think both teams can go in a number of different directions with guys that not only fit needs but also add a lot of value. I see you think Dallas is locked into Ramsey, but will he be there after the Chargers make their pick at number 3?
But I think there's a good chance that he is going to be there. And it's funny because information is so fluid right now that last night I would have said that I think San Diego, you know, goes Jalen Ramsey or DeForest Buckner. Now it sounds like Ronnie Stanley from Notre Dame could be the guy there. So
wow.
This tends to happen. The closer we get to the draft, the more scouts see the final board, and then they turn around and start talking a little bit to guys like myself. So you start to get more information as you get closer. So I think that there's not that consensus that there used to be. So now it does look like Jalen Ramsey gets to Dallas, which means Joey Bosa gets to Jacksonville, which means Laremy Tunsil gets to Baltimore, and that might push DeForest Buckner right into the lap of the 49ers. So whereas even yesterday when I was flying into New York, there was like no clarity about what's going to happen at 3 through 7. Now you're starting to kind of get like if this happens, it sets off this domino effect, and you can kind of figure out at least where the top 7 teams are going. Cleveland's going to be the real wild card, but if San Diego goes Ronnie Stanley or Laremy Tunsil, it's pretty easy to figure out what happens from there.
All right, so you know, this is intriguing to me because you know, a number of the scouts that I've spoken to and a few offensive coordinators have told me that they feel Tunsil is hands down one of the best tackles coming out of college in the past decade. So if that's pretty unanimous. I mean, I haven't had one person tell me that Stanley or Conklin are better than Tunsil, but you're sitting here telling me now. I'm hearing that the Chargers are going to trade down. That's what I'm hearing. But you're saying they might take Stanley. Is the off-the-field issues, Matt, with Tunsil, that that frightening for teams that you feel that's the reason why he's falling?
I think that is a lot of it. This week is when your scouts and your general manager present the draft plan to the owner. And that's when you can have guys get shot down. I know there was a team last year that wanted to draft Dorial Green-Beckham, the top 20, and they presented it to the owner, and he said no. So with a guy like Laremy Tunsil, even though, you know, there aren't those overwhelming off-field concerns, it's not Sean Oakman or anything, but there are, I think, enough concerns that you start to doubt, okay, do we really want to invest the top 3 or top 4 pick in a player who we do have some questions about, when Ronnie Stanley's not that much different as a player. So he might not have the high ceiling, but I think he's generally thought of as being a little bit safer. It also helps that he's coming out of that Notre Dame scheme that's going to be a little bit more pro-style than what they ran at Ole Miss. So I think that's why we're starting to see a little bit more love for Ronnie Stanley as we get closer to the draft.
All right, we're joined by Matt Miller from Bleacher Report. Matt, let's dial it in then. Based on what you're hearing, what players will be there when the Giants get to 10 that you think will be in heavy consideration for them when they make that pick?
You know, I'm hearing the same two names over and over again, and that's Leonard Floyd from Georgia and Jack Conklin from Michigan State. So linebacker and offensive tackle. I know they went offensive tackle last year, but with the needs on the offensive line, it wouldn't be a surprise at all from what I've been told to have Conklin come in there, start at right tackle from day one, and really give them two young bookends to build around on the offensive line. I think the name to maybe be a wild card here would be Miles Jack, just depending on how far he ends up falling in the first round. Are they comfortable with the knee? I know that Peter King has said that the Giants are one of the teams that are comfortable with Miles Jack. So if he's there at 10, I would think that's a slam dunk draft pick for them, even though this is a franchise that traditionally doesn't draft linebackers early. I think you can make an exception for a guy like that.
All right, so let's then specifically dive in on these three players. And let's start with Miles Jack. Now, what I've been told is that he's having, you know, some an issue in regard to regrowth of cartilage. So with that being said, the anticipation is at some point in time in his career, he's going to need microfracture. And I've asked a number of executives, if you could have a Miles Jack for a healthy 5 years, would you still draft him in the top 10? And every single executive has told me yes.
Yeah, no, I think it's the same way. And the way that I see it, and the way that I've been, you know, you talk to GMs or directors of player personnel, and they always tell you that you only draft for 5 years because you never know if you're going to be able to retain a guy. So with Miles Jack, like you said, if he's going to be healthy for 5 years and play at a Pro Bowl level, he's still a top 10 pick. So I know a lot of people are concerned about, is he going to have microfracture surgery? Is this a Jadeveon Clowney type scenario? So I think that there's a lot of fear out there right now, but I also think there are a lot of teams trying to capitalize on that fear and really get people talking about how, you know, maybe he starts to fall down the board a little bit. And it's funny how just a rumor of an injury can spread like wildfire. And now you might have teams who legitimately pass on a guy who most people you talk to say he's one of the two or three best players in the entire class.
What's your gut feeling on it? Do you think Jack gets the 10, Matt? And where are the danger teams that if Giant fans really want Miles Jack, they should keep an eye on that could pick him maybe in the bottom half of that top 10?
I do think there's a chance he gets to 10. The teams that I would worry about, Jacksonville at 5 and Cleveland at 8, are the two teams that I think you have to kind of look at if you're a Giants fan and you want Miles Jack. That's what you're afraid of. You're afraid of Jacksonville just worked him out like a week ago, and they took the whole front office. They took head coach Gus Bradley. So there's definitely a connection there that you have to worry about. And then Cleveland, I know a lot of people think that Hugh Jackson wants a quarterback. Everything I've been told is that they want to build on defense. They want to build a strong defense and then kind of win offensively through the scheme, not through highly drafted players. So we'll see if that changes come Thursday night. If the owner gets involved, that can always change. But those are the two teams that you kind of have to worry about right now.
Matt Miller joining us from Bleacher Report. Matt, I'm hearing Cleveland's going to trade down. They already have 12 picks. There's no pressure here for Hugh Jackson to win this year or next year. This is an organization that's committed to him for the next 5 years. So don't be surprised if they trade down. That's what I'm hearing.
No, I'm with you. It's all about accumulating as many opportunities as they can get in this class, because I think this new regime came in and they were blown away at how poor that roster was and how little in return they've had on some of the draft picks. So it's all about getting as many picks as they can, having as many bites at the apple to try to go get those impact players. So I'm with you 100% there. I think they would love to get out of number 8. And Tennessee would be the team to kind of keep an eye on that. If we do see a little bit of a run on offensive tackles, wouldn't be shocked if they jump up there to number 8 to get someone like Jack Conklin.
And then Conklin, even an Elliott or a Jack could be a target there, some of the best players left on the board. Let's jump to Leonard Floyd, who's the name you mentioned, Matt. What's the situation with Floyd? We talked to Tony Pauline, one of your contemporaries, yesterday, and the theme that I seem to be getting from him and other people is that if this draft had more top pure edge rushers, we'd be talking about Leonard Floyd in the teens and not at 10. But the fact that there aren't enough of these lengthy explosive edge rushers, that's kind of pushed him up the board a little bit. Do you think that's a fair characterization?
Oh, I do. Yeah, without a doubt. I think that he would traditionally be a guy you would talk about in the 20s, which is where I have him on my rankings as, you know, this isn't a true first rounder. He's not a guy that you would traditionally draft that early. He's a bit of a project. You know, he needs to fill out his frame. He's very lean, 6'6", you know, 244 pounds. Where are you going to play him? Is he an inside linebacker? He did that sometimes at Georgia. Is he an outside linebacker? Is he someone who's going to rush off the edge? I mean, he is – versatility is his biggest strength and his biggest weakness because he doesn't have an established position. So I think you have to have some creativity when you look at him as a player and say, okay, this is how I'm going to use him. You know, this is the type of guy that I think he can be because he is he's unique and he's dynamic. He's a good athlete, but he doesn't have that – you know, what's his elite trait? I don't know that he has one other than the fact that he's pretty tall and pretty long.
You know, it's funny, and I thought the same thing you did, Matt, and then I got into a room with Carl Banks late last week, and he did the complete sell job on me on Leonard Floyd. He's watched him, and he thinks that he's going to be able to use his height and carry a tight end. He can play off the ball in space on first and second down. Then you put his hand down on third down. So Carl actually thinks that he will be able to fit into a 4-3 scheme, and they'll have a way to use him on first, second, and third down, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, no, that is. I think that you, again, like if you can find that role for him and say the NFL is changing, we're going to just deploy him as a difference maker and let him be a matchup guy.
Yeah.
And say that, you know, you can play in the middle, you can play on the edge. We're just going to use you all over the field. I think there's some intrigue in there, but it's just a matter of he hasn't shown you a whole lot of it at Georgia. You know, he was mm-hmm. not impactful against the run. He loops around and takes poor angles. So I would be pretty hesitant to draft him in the top 10, but the NFL loves pass rushers, so none of that would surprise me.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. If the Giants do end up with Leonard Floyd, I think it's going to be a very interesting year for Spags. Probably one of the most creative years he's going to have. Now, in regard to the offensive linemen, obviously you said that you think Stanley would be the first one off the board, Tunsil second as he drops. Who knows if he's even still available at the Giants at 10, but the possibility that Conklin is there. Now, you know, the difference that I'm hearing in regard to Conklin is, I guess, people like his grit, his you know, the fire that's in his belly, kind of like, you know, he's got this rough edge about him. You know, do you feel out of the three, you see that the most with him?
I think he is. I mean, I think some of that is the stereotypical Big Ten offensive lineman. People are just like, oh, he must be tough because he plays at Michigan State. But he is. I mean, he's fought through injuries. He's been a heck of a player for the last 3 years, you know, former walk-on. He's a self-made guy. So I love that about him. My questions would be his footwork is not where it needs to be in comparison with Ronnie Stanley, in comparison with Laremy Tunsil, or even with Taylor Decker out of Ohio State. So with Conklin, you're probably looking at him as maybe a right tackle, maybe a guard, but he's not at least in my eyes, he's not a future left tackle or a guy that's going to come in and play on that blind side, which those two positions, left tackle, right tackle, are starting to even out a little bit in terms of importance. So that's not a deal breaker, but you look at what he can do from toughness, and you love it. You love his length. But, I think the footwork is going to need some patience, and he's going to require some coaching when he gets there.
Matt, final question for me. I know you're real busy shooting all your videos today. That'll be posted up on all the prospects once the draft gets going. You'll be the 10th person I ask this question to. We've had a bunch of draft people on over the past 3 weeks. Give me your prediction for what the Giants will do. Then give me, if you're the general manager, who you would pick.
Okay, my prediction of who they will take, and I'm actually working on a final mock draft, so hopefully this holds true. I think they'll take Leonard Floyd there. Just everything I'm hearing, that's kind of where my gut is pushing me right now. We'll see if that changes before tonight when I finalize things. Who I would take? I would take, that's such a good question. I think if Miles Jack is there, he would be the player, hands down, without a doubt.
And if he's not?
Elliott, if he's there, I would take him. So those would be the two guys. If they're not there and you wanted a linebacker, I would take Darren Lee from Ohio State.
Last question for me. I'm hearing that there's a number of teams that want to trade up, specifically for quarterbacks. The Broncos, the Bills, the Jets. I have a feeling that at 10, if Lynch is still on the board, if Hackenberg is still on the board, I think the Giants' phones are going to be ringing off the hook. Jerry Reese met with the media last Thursday, and the first thing he said, before he even took any questions, was we are open to trading up or down. How aggressive do you think those teams are going to be to go after a Lynch or a Hackenberg? And do you think it would be wise for the Giants to trade down, Matt?
I don't know that I would trade down because I think this is about a 10-player draft with all the injuries to guys like Miles Jack and Jalen Smith. So having the opportunity to get an impact player, you don't get those very often. So I would stay there, but I do think that there's going to be a lot more action. You know, you mentioned Cleveland at number 8 earlier. So the closer we get, if someone panics a little bit about Paxton Lynch, whether that's the Jets or I've heard the Bills would love to take a quarterback early in this draft. I think there's enough out there, enough pressure out there that someone could try to move up. So if you get, you know, if someone's trying to move from 20 to 10, that's going to cost quite a bit. So getting those extra draft picks in the future, that would be pretty hard to say no to, but it's one of those decisions you're going to have to make on the clock, because if Miles Jack is there and you like him, or if Ezekiel Elliott's there somehow, those are players you can't pass on.
Matt, thanks so much for the time. We appreciate it. Thanks for carving out some time in your busy schedule. You've been loyal to us all year. Thank you so much, and enjoy the next few days if you can, and then please take a couple days off before you put out your first big board for 2017, all right? Do me a favor.
That won't happen. I'll have a 2017 mock draft out Monday after the draft.
Oh, you're the best.
No rest.
All right, well, you
no
know what? Rest, real quick, Matt, give me a preview. 2017, biggest position of strength.
Running back, without a doubt. Leonard Fournette, Nick Chubb, Samaje Perine, Christian McCaffrey. Such a good running back class next year. Linebacker looks good, too. But I've spent a couple of days here and there peeking at next year's class, and I'm pretty excited.
All right, there we go. Matt, appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
Hey, you too, man.
Matt Miller.
He's great.
Absolutely. Highly recommend you follow him on Twitter, especially if you know, you're into the draft like we are on Thursday. He'll be really a great guy to sit and follow. I mean, a number of guys to sit and follow. You're going to be in Chicago, right?
Yeah. Well, and by the way, for Matt, if you want to just search for, like, Matt Miller stuff, just go to Google search Matt Miller archive, and they'll go to his full archive on Bleacher Report. Every draft story he's put up all year is on there. It's a great place to check out for all his information. Yeah, we're leaving. I believe I'm landing tomorrow at 2:45 p.m.
Okay.
If the weather permits. It's supposed to be a little nasty here and there, and then Thursday looks like it could be a whole complete washout in Chicago.
Oh, really?
Oh, thunderstorms the whole nine yards.
Well, that's not good because they're inside and outside.
Correct.
Oh, wow.
Try shooting a Sights and Sounds of Draft Town when there's torrential rain.
I know.
How you doing? Not easy.
That's not going to be fun.
I need a Giants-branded poncho.
But then but then you come back, and you and Paul Dottino are on Giants.com for the second and third round on Friday,
yes,
right?
7 to 10 p.m. on Giants.com. We expect the first pick to be made around like 7:50-ish, the second pick around 9:45. We have a couple analysts coming on. If Jerry Reese and Ben McAdoo speak at the podium. Mark Ross, we'll have them as well. So it should be a real fun show. And then, of course, tomorrow night on the actual first-round draft night, you go to MSG. I believe starting at 8:30 on MSG, Carl Banks, Bob Pop, and David Deal have their show live with the draft as well. You hear from Ben McAdoo and Jerry Reese and all those folks. So it'll be a lot of Giants draft coverage on Giants.com end of the week. No question about it.
Absolutely. Fans, don't forget Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com, enter the promo code CONTACT to play for free. Today, DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. So, John, boatload of calls. Let's get to them.
Yep.
201-939-4513. We kick it off with Greg in Virginia. Greg, welcome in.
Hey, how y'all doing today?
Hi, Greg.
Hey, I'll keep it short. Really appreciate you guys having Matt Miller on. He's very talented. And he pretty much preached what I've been saying, you know, Miles Jack and Ezekiel Elliott. I've been saying it for months now. Those, if one of them gets to you, you have to take them. I'm not concerned about the knee. My biggest fear, I actually think now Miles Jack will be an option at 10. It's just going to break down that way, in my opinion. And I'm gonna have to buy a new TV Friday if we pass on him.
Well, you know what? Greg, here's what I'll tell you. If you're sitting there, and this is an if your medical staff gives you the green light on the knee, I don't know what the Giants think of his medical. I have no idea. But if the Giants have put a green check mark on Miles Jack's medical and he's there at 10, it's hard for me to argue not to pick him. It's really hard.
I agree. If Miles Jack gets past Jacksonville, I'm calling Cleveland.
Yeah, I agree.
And I'm just going to make sure that no one moves ahead of me to get Miles Jack because everyone's going to be sort of mind-blown, and I secure that. And then, you know, Cleveland can still more than likely pick up Ezekiel Elliott or Paxton Lynch or a number of different players.
Yeah, you know, Greg, here's the thing. I don't think Elliott's a good mix for Cleveland because, to me, when you draft the running back, your thought he's going to be good for the first 4 or 5 years, right? Then who knows? They're not going to be a competitor for anything, probably for another two, three, 4 years,
is
right?
Trading down.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But even if you trade down and Elliott's there,
they already have 12 picks.
I know, but
I want to say 7 of them are in like the top 4 rounds.
Remember, they might want to trade down.
Or nine, something ridiculous like
though,
that.
You might want to trade down, but you need a team that's going to give you what you want to move down.
But I mean,
that's not a guarantee.
But just like Matt,
I got a couple of predictions. I'm sorry, Anita. Go ahead. Tom.
No. Go ahead, Greg.
Oh, I know you got other callers, but. A couple predictions.
Okay. What
and
do we
then
got?
I got a question for you guys to ponder.
All
right. And I'd like your thoughts.
Ponder too.
Oh, yeah, ponder. Excuse me.
That's okay.
My prediction, a bold prediction, is Leonard Floyd will go before the Giants pick.
You know what? And it's funny thing, Greg. I'm actually hearing that more and more that he could slip into the top 10.
Yep. And I think because of that, that's one of the reasons that Miles Jack will be available. Either Miles Jack or Joey Bosa will be available for Giants at 10.
Jack or Bosa.
So I'm not saying which one because there's so many trades, there's so many scenarios. there's going to be a ton of movement, but the Giants will have the opportunity to pick one of those two players.
And I'll tell you what, Greg, if I have the choice between Bosa or Miles Jack, you might not like it. I'm picking Joey Bosa.
Oh, wait. I've been thinking about this call all day. Aren't we all sick and tired of Jason Witten on 3rd and 12, these conversions, and now Washington's got Reed? You get Miles Jack on the team, that's into Witten, and you match him up with Reed on Washington. Washington has no weapons.
If Joey Bosa has Tony Romo on the ground, isn't the time to throw it to Jason Witten?
That's a fair point. I'm just saying, I'm so sick of seeing his flush face, Jason Witten's flush face, and his old blue half sleeve readjusting his helmet after a third down conversion. Makes me want to backhand him. But, okay, now Leonard Floyd, if he beefed up to 240 for the combine and still had great numbers.
Yeah.
If he was capable of doing that, why do you think he didn't do it for the season?
I mean, Georgia maybe wanted him to play at a lighter weight.
Why wouldn't Georgia want him to be at 240 and play the same speed?
Because, you know, in college,
Greg, and thank you for the
phone
call.
Thanks, Greg.
College is so different.
Spread offenses.
Yes.
You want guys to run. The big, you know, size isn't as big in college because, frankly, the guys you're playing aren't as big.
Look, Greg brought up a few things, and he was talking about Ezekiel Elliott. I find this really interesting that if Ezekiel Elliott is available at 10, what do the Giants do? Because, again, this is a Giants organization, and Jerry Reese, what do we hear?
I think about
best
him.
Player on the board.
I know.
And I think you can easily sit there and say, at that point in time, Ezekiel Elliott will be the best player on the board. But did the Giants take them? I don't believe they do. And another thing is, I think their phone's going to be ringing off the hook.
Yeah, I agree.
For somebody to try to move up and get Ezekiel Elliott at 10.
Well, and
Thursday night's going to be insane.
And if by some chance both Elliott and Jack are on the board, I guarantee you there's going to be a team that's looking to move up.
Absolutely. Let's go to Florida. Don's calling in. Don, welcome in.
Hey.
Don, what's up?
Let me pose something for you guys to ponder.
Please.
I was just reading Yahoo Sports, and Yahoo Sports was talking about the fact that Philadelphia moved significantly up to grab a good player. And they're thinking that the Giants may jump to number 5 for Tunsil. Their thought process being that the Giants need to truly solidify their line for the long haul. I just want to get your thoughts on that possibility.
I am against moving up that high. I think you have to give up too much. I think in this draft you can find a starter in the second round. If you move up to 5, you lose out on that second round pick. I mean, there's a good chance that you're going to be able to draft Ronnie Stanley or Jack Conklin. I think a better chance of Conklin than Stanley at 10. I'd rather have Conklin and my number 2 than Tunsil and no number 2. That's the way I look at it.
Do you think that the Giants will you're thinking the Giants might trade down?
I think there's a better chance of them trading down than trading up, but I think if you look at the percentages based on how this works, I think odds are they'll probably make the pick at 10 simply based on history.
Okay. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
I
don't like moving up. Not a fan. Unless it's for a franchise quarterback and you need one, I'm not a fan of moving up. Pick a good player where you are.
And I do believe that the player that the Giants want, they feel will be there for them at 10.
Well, I'm sure they have all their scenarios worked out. But, yeah, I mean, I'm sure the guy that they, you know, say, I really want this guy and we hope he's there, that's the guy they think has a good chance of falling. They'd be wasting their time saying, you know, we really want that Jalen Ramsey at 10. Well, good luck. Ain't going to happen.
That's true. 201-939-4513. That's how you get on board. Also, make sure you're following the Giants on Twitter. That's @Giants. And hashtag Giants chat for your comments I'll share on the show. This is from Bill. He says, if Jets offer Wilkerson for 10, do we take it?
That's a really good question. You have the cap space to sign him long term. You'd have to work out that contract before you consummate the trade. A, I do not believe the Jets would ever offer their best player to the New York Giants in a trade, period, because their fan base might literally burn the building to the ground. See, here's the trick about trading for a guy like Wilkerson. You got to pay him, too. It's not like you get him and then you have him on the reasonable contract. You got to pay him. You already signed two defensive ends. He would move inside on third down, bash the passer. You would have to put him at the three technique on first and second down. I would say no, but I'd really think about it.
This is from Ricker. He wants to know, he wanted us actually to ask about Jalen Smith to Matt. Unfortunately, I didn't get to your tweet in time. I'm sorry, but everything I'm hearing is extremely negative in regard to him potentially having a dead foot.
Well, now, too many questions, yeah.
Now, do I think he gets drafted? Yes. The big question mark is, where does he get drafted?
Well, we asked Tony Pauline that question on Monday, so I can give you Tony's take, Ricker, off that question. And Tony Pauline said if he had to guess, he would say day three. He doesn't even think he's going to go in the second and third round. That's how many teams have legitimate questions of his long-term viability, not just to be a great player, but to play again. That's how many questions there are about his injury situation. So my guess is that there's a team in round three that has a lot of draft picks, like the Tennessee Titans. We'll say we have all these picks. Let's roll the dice now, make sure we get a shot at him. But would I be surprised if he's sitting there first pick in round four based on everything I'm hearing? I would not be.
All right, let's continue because we've got more tweets that are coming in. But let's continue with our calls.
I mean, people say, Anita, that if he's the first pick in this draft, if he's healthy, and teams just say, boy, if we can ever get this guy back and we get him for a fourth-round pick, and in 2018 we're rolling him out there as a starting middle linebacker, it's almost like having two first-round picks that year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's hard for teams to resist.
But does a team like, for example, you've got the Cleveland Browns that right now are sitting with 12 draft picks. And as I said, like my gut's telling me that they're going to want to trade down. They want even more draft picks. When you have a plethora, and I will say 12 right now, who knows, maybe 16 at the end of the first round, why not take a shot in the fourth round with him?
Well,
if
exactly.
You've got, let's say you've got
or
16,
third round
you've got 16 draft picks. Why not take a shot at him?
Well, that was the same reason I brought the Titans. They have a lot of picks too. So do the Ravens.
I want to say there was somebody else. Is it the same? Who? There's two teams that have 12 picks. And it might be Tennessee and Cleveland.
And there's one team that got a bunch of compensatory picks. I think it might be Baltimore, actually. I'd have to look that up in terms of total number of picks. But, yeah, look. Yeah, I think that's the type of team that's going to pick them. It's the team that has a lot of picks and have a lot of bullets in the chamber. And they can say, you know what, if we miss on them, whatever, we still picked 8 or 9 other players in this draft, we're good to go. And I think that's how it's going to go.
Now, if the Patriots were true to form this season – which typically each and every draft, they typically have a plethora of picks. I wouldn't put it past the Patriots to draft him.
No, that would be right up their alley.
That would
the
be
same
right,
way
yeah.
they did with but here's the trick too. Remember,
but this year I don't. You know, they're kind of, especially now with the whole 4-game suspension with Tom Brady. They don't have a first round draft pick.
Yeah.
Yada yada yada. Which, by the way, I heard that they're really in love with Nassib's brother, the defensive end from Penn State.
A lot of teams are rusher.
I heard that if he's still on the board in the second round, that's the guy they're targeting.
Tell you what, a couple interesting things about the Patriots. One, there was an article on Yahoo Sports, I think it was this morning, by Mike Freeman, a good NFL writer, how he talked to 11 different sources in other front offices, and he says these people admitted to me they hate the Patriots and they want nothing good to happen to the Patriots. They almost all said to a man that they think the NFL should have given them back those draft picks that they took away, which I thought was interesting.
That is interesting.
Yeah. So I thought that was interesting. And remember, people talk about, you know, roll the dice on Jalen Smith. The Patriots did something like that 2 years ago on easily the defensive tackle. He got cut a week ago.
Right.
So there are pluses and minuses taking those chances.
201-939-4513. Let's go to Jeff calling in from Rhode Island. Jeff, welcome in.
Hey, good afternoon, Anita and John. How you guys doing
today? Hi, Jeff.
Today?
Doing well.
Good. Good, very good. I'm glad to hear. I'm getting juiced up for the draft, and you can also add me to that list of people that hate the Patriots, even though hate is kind of a strong word.
It's a very strong word.
Yeah, I know. I don't really hate anybody, but I called last week, and I never did get your response. I don't know if you guys have put in your major choices for the Giants' first-round draft pick. What I wanted to know last week is position-wise, what you would prioritize with the first-round pick.
Well, I don't think you prioritize by position. I think you prioritize by talent, Jeff, to be honest with you. I mean, if you get there – go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was just, you know, in terms of need, myself, I've been going back and forth with either offensive tackle or the best value defensive lineman, either one of those two. Yeah, and I understand the, you know, the talent aspect of it as well, but if you had to, you know, if they, what would you do if you were the Giants? Let me ask it this way.
Okay.
If you had the offensive tackle and a defensive line there, lineman there at that, this, you know, the same spot, and had them pretty much value-wise the same, which way would you go?
Is the defensive lineman a pass rusher, or is he more of like a run-stuffing defensive tackle type?
I'd probably just say the best value guy there.
Well, it's hard to tell. I mean, if look, like left tackles and defensive ends are more valuable than guards, right tackles,
right,
and defensive tackles. You know what I mean? So
I
think you have to.
Yeah,
I think you have to look at the player. I mean, if you're sitting there and you decide between Jack Conklin and Leonard Floyd, let's say, to just throw out two, you know, general examples. Even though Floyd's more of a linebacker, he can rush the passer on third down. I would probably say at this point, based on what they did in free agency, offensive tackle is the bigger need. But you might think that Leonard Floyd has a much bigger upside than Jack Conklin. And in that case, you pick Floyd because you think he has the potential to be a better player down the road. That's how I would kind of mince that around.
Right. I'm not on board with Floyd. I just think he's being artificially pushed up the board in, you know, in regards to value. I don't see it. To me, the guy's a tweener, and like I said last week, I don't want the Giants to draft him. But, of course, that's not on me.
Well, yes, it's not.
Although, maybe I could do just as good a job with the first-round pick, but we'll never know that.
Thank you, Jeff.
Okay.
Well, here's the thing, Anita. For yesterday's show at the end, I put a little big board together for myself, and I kind of set it into tiers. This isn't the exact order, but I have it in tiers. And I gave it at the end of the show, I'll give it again. My top three guys that this is for the Giants specifically, not generally. So this is specifically tailored to the Giants. The top three guys I'd look for in this order are Tunsil, Bosa, and Ramsey. I think you build from the inside out, starting left tackle, pass rushing defensive end, then you have top-notch quarterback.
But interesting that you have Bosa above Ramsey. A lot of people feel Ramsey's the best defensive player coming out of this draft.
And you know what? And like I said, these numbers aren't precise. And I went back and forth with those two names a bajillion times. I really did. I couldn't decide who to put where. But I always came back to the, you know, the Tom Coughlin way of doing things where you win with big people. How'd the Broncos win? With big people. How'd the Panthers win? With big people. How'd the Seahawks win all of these years? With big people. So that's why I have Bosa up there and Ramsey. There's still some question as to how great of a corner he is, specific corner, which is why I think I'd maybe give Bosa a little bit of an edge. But again, I'll swap those two guys, whatever. I have Miles Jack in the next group, only because of the knee. I worry about it a little bit. I have him in there with DeForest Buckner, and I have Vernon Hargreaves in there below those two guys as well in my next tier.
I really like DeForest Buckner.
That's
another guy that I think, you know, a lot of people felt that San Diego was really high on him.
Yeah.
You know, that's a guy that I'll be shocked if he falls out of the top 10.
Agreed, 100%. And then my next group, and I think this is kind of the sweet spot for the Giants at 10, you have Conklin and Ronnie Stanley, along with Leonard Floyd and Ezekiel Elliott. I think one of those four guys will definitely be there.
Interesting.
Which one?
So you have Conklin above Stanley.
Yeah, I think I like Conklin's versatility more. I think Stanley's a better pass protector and will be a better pass protector on the next level. I think there's a much better chance Conklin will be there than Stanley. I think the league views Stanley as a more valuable type of player because of his raw athleticism. But I like the fact that Conklin's kind of that road grader, toughness, blue collar. I disagree with Matt to a point. I do think he is a shot at moving out to left tackle one day. I think that's a possibility. I don't think he's a guy that you pigeonhole on the right side. So because of that versatility and his ability to block in the run and the pass, I have Conklin slightly ahead of Stanley.
So Conklin, Stanley, and
Floyd and Elliott. Those are my four guys that I have in
that
tier in the sweet spot for the Giants.
That you think will be available?
I don't think all four will be available, but I think two out of those four will be available.
Two out of the four will be available.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think those are the four the Giants will pick from. And
who would you like to see them pick from that?
I'll tell you what, Carl Banks has really hard sold me on Leonard Floyd.
Really?
Hard sell.
Wow.
He's been pestering me.
This is a very different John Schmoke.
Pestering me. Well, I mean, I told the fans last week.
This afternoon.
I know. Banks is...
I remember the first time I brought up Leonard Floyd, you looked at me like I had a third eye.
I'm... personally, from what I've seen, everything I've read, I think it's a risk. But it's also hard for me to tell Carl Banks, an all-pro, you know, linebacker, one of the best in Giants history, that he doesn't know how to evaluate linebackers. So he's brought Floyd into the mix for me. And you're right. 2 weeks ago, he wouldn't have been in the mix for me. Absolutely not. You're absolutely right about that. Carl Banks has sold me
hard. He sold
you.
He
hard. So I think when you come down to it, I'm with Matt. The names that I think are in the mix, and I think one of the two will be there, is Conklin and Floyd. Now, if Miles Jack drops, if Elliott drops, maybe you got to think about it. But if I had to make my guess, I think you're looking at Conklin and Floyd. And then a dark horse, a real dark horse, I think is still Treadwell if they want to go wide receiver.
What? And I will say this, more and more, a number of executives and scouts I'm talking to love Treadwell. I had Greg Cassell on my radio show over the weekend. Loves Treadwell. Actually thinks Treadwell will go to the Giants at 10.
That's the thing. Some people have told me
Greg Cassell thinks that Treadwell is going to go to the Giants at 10.
And here's the thing. You got some people that think Treadwell is a player in the 20s, and then I've talked to two or three people that think Treadwell is right up there with the wide receivers from last year, you know, the Amari Coopers of the world, and he's right in that mix. So the opinions on Treadwell, I find, are very, very
all
disparate depending on who you talk to. And I want to stress this too, folks. I have no idea what the Giants are thinking. I haven't seen their board. I'm not telling you what they're thinking, what they're going to do. That's just my feel based on all the experts and everybody we've talked to and what they've told me their sources are. This is not inside information. Don't take it that way.
I want to remind you that Big Blue Kickoff Live brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy sports. Just pick your contest, pick your players, and if you win, pick up your cash. It's as simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com, enter the promo code CONTACT to claim your free entry today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. We're going to continue with your calls, 201-939-4513. Nita Marks, John Schmelk. This is Big Blue Kickoff Live. Again, continue to tweet us as well, hashtag Giants Chat. We go to Marquise.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Hi, welcome.
All right, how y'all? With all due respect to Carl Banks and John Schmelk, I just don't see us picking Floyd.
Why? Why?
Now, Marquise, here's the trick. Marquise, here's the trick.
I think Pochettino's rubbing off on me, man.
Well, first of all, I'm sorry about that. That's not my intention by putting Paul on the show. But all jokes aside, based on draft history even, Marquise, Leonard Floyd, to me, seems to fit the prototype of the player the Giants like. A guy with tremendous upside. It's long, is lengthy, can rush the quarterback, can do a lot of things. I think he fits into that profile to a certain extent as well, which is another reason why I think that it is a possibility. And again, you can blame Carl Banks, but he has sold me hard on him over the last couple weeks.
Yeah, and I respect Carl Banks, but, you know, I just don't see the Giants picking Leonard Floyd. He's just a tweener. I mean, you don't know who you're going to put him at, and he's like almost like a – is he like – I think he's like a projection pick, and I'm not a fan of projection picks in the first round unless you, like, stacked at that position and you see what they got in, like, 3-5 years, and they probably be even better than the players that they were there previously.
I hear you, Marquise, but remember, to a certain extent, and I understand your point, I get it in terms of being a projection. Every player you draft in the NFL draft, you're projecting to a certain extent. There are no sure things.
Yeah, that is true. But I say, hypothetically speaking, if Tunsil and or Ramsey's there with the Giants, hypothetically speaking, and I say we pick either one of them. But if Tennessee wanted to trade up and they gave us an offer we couldn't refuse, you know what? I'll pretty much take it. My offer not to refuse is I say swap 10, 15, trade 2 to 3 second round.
You're not getting two twos to move from 15 to 10. You aren't getting two twos. You're getting 1-2.
I mean, if Tennessee really wants them that bad, then yeah.
I'm just telling you, they're not giving up two twos. Now, what you would do if you're the Giants, Marquise, is you tell them, I want your best two. So give me your top second-round pick, which is the first pick at the second round. If you're playing hardball and you're the Giants, that's what you do. But there's no way you're getting two of those second-round picks. It's just not happening.
So you don't think if Tennessee want them that bad, they wouldn't trade at least two second-round picks?
No.
Or at least or next much. Year first-round pick?
No. They're not giving up that much.
Marquise, thank you for the phone call. Let's do this. Let's look and just teams that I'm hearing are very interested in trading up. Okay, the Dolphins. I'm hearing that the Dolphins really want Ezekiel Elliott.
I've heard that too.
So if the Dolphins, if Ezekiel Elliott is available at 10, that's two spots.
And by the way, just for the record, to go from 15 to 10, that is 250 points.
Well, wait, we're not there yet. Dolphins are at 13. For mm-hmm. the Dolphins to go to 13 to 10, what would that – so you'd exchange, and then what else would the Dolphins have to offer the Giants for that move?
To move up – they are at 13, you said, right?
Uh-huh.
To move up three spots. I think if you're the Giants, you ask for their two, and if I'm the Dolphins, I offer my three. And I see if the Giants bite, or maybe then you swap it another round. Maybe it's like – I'll give you the three, and then maybe the Dolphins throw in a six or something like that, or maybe a five. I don't think you're getting a second-round pick out of Miami because the Dolphins at 13, their pick is worth 1,150. The Giants' pick is worth 1,300. So that's only a 150-point difference. I'm going off the chart on Pro Football Talk, and that's only 150 points. 150 points would be the 88th overall pick, which is a third-round selection. So you'd actually be getting more value than what the actual difference is if you get the Dolphins pick in the third round, which is worth 205 points, and it's only a 150-point difference on the chart.
I'm hearing Tennessee wants to trade up.
Agreed. And that would be a 250-point difference to go from 15 to 10, and that will line up well with the Titans actually first pick of the third round. But if I'm the Giants, I would insist they give me one of those middle round picks that they got in the second round from the Rams.
I'm hearing the Bills are interested in Hackenberg.
I don't think Hackenberg's going in the first round. I hear teams like Connor Cook better than Hackenberg.
I'm hearing that Hackenberg and Lynch are going to be gone.
Lynch, I think so, definitely. I think Lynch has gone in the first round. I don't think Hackenberg will.
Obviously, the Jets, they're interested in Lynch.
Yep.
So that's 19 and 20.
And by the way, if Lynch, in my opinion, gets down into like the mid-20 area, 25, 26.
I don't think he does.
I don't think he does either, but if he does, don't be surprised if Dallas tries to move up in front of Denver or the Cardinals to grab Lynch as their quarterback of the future. I've heard they like him down there a lot.
Yeah, I don't think he goes that far. I don't think he goes that far down.
I would be surprised if he got Pat. Now, here's the thing with the Jets, though. If you draft Paxton Lynch and you're the Jets, are you going to be able to sell to your fan base that this kid can't play for 2 years? Because Paxton Lynch is 2 years away from playing in the NFL. You have to be willing to draft that kid and sit him on the bench for 2 years. Can that fly in New York?
I don't know. But I know the Jets, in regard to their cap space, they only have enough money right now cap space to sign whatever the rookies that they're going to be drafting.
I think they'll have like $1 million left after that or something like that. It's not a lot.
And so, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick is just kind of sitting in the wings waiting for that to happen so they could trade Mo so that there's more cap space for them to sign him.
They must have something in hand where they can renegotiate somebody's contract or something. I don't know.
But it's not an odd situation. It's not enough for what the Fitzpatrick camp is requesting
from
the Jets.
Clearly, given the fact that he's not there yet.
And now here's a really interesting one, and I'm hearing that the Broncos want to trade up for a quarterback, whether that's Lynch or Hackenberg. So, and they're coming all the way from 31. So
here's the thing about Hackenberg. Like, you talk to a couple people, like we had Steve Palazzolo on last week. He thinks Hackenberg's a fifth-round pick.
Oh, I'm told that Lynch and Hackenberg. I've talked to scouts who said they wouldn't touch him until the third or fourth round.
Right, but teams get desperate and do weird things.
You know, those are private professional scouts that service NFL teams. It's different now when I talk to executives that are in the front office who know we need a quarterback, whether it's this year, next year, whatever the case, and you know, what they've seen from Lynch, they love his arm, they love his athleticism, they love his size, so they're going to, quote-unquote, reach for him in the first round, knowing that, yes, he's a project, but excited about what he can be for them in 2 or 3 years from now.
Yeah.
So, I did not think a week ago that Lynch and Hackenberg would be drafted in the first round, but today, based on the conversations I've had in the past 48 hours, I think they both go in the first round.
I think Lynch, yes. I think Hackenberg, no. And my prediction, I think Connor Cook goes before Hackenberg.
201-939-4513. Let's go to Grimm calling in from Queens. Grimm, welcome in.
Oh, Anita and John, how y'all doing today?
How are you?
I'm good, man. First thing I want to say is I don't think the Giants should draft Jack Conklin with the 10th pick. I just don't think he's worth the 10th pick. I mean, I know he's been moving up the draft boards a lot, and everybody seems to love him, but I just really don't like his footwork, man. I mean, I know when he gets his hands on you, you don't get past him. But I think at the next level, he won't be able to do that with such poor footwork.
Hey, look, and you know, that has been a common criticism of him from people that aren't as big of fans of him. And other people think that he can overcome that sort of stuff and get better at that at the pro level. But if you have a concern, that footwork thing is something I've heard from people that do this for a living.
Yeah, and another thing is since you guys were at the combine, I realized that a lot of opinions are all over the place on, it seems like, every single player in this draft. I mean, there's no consensus outside of the top five talents in the draft. And I think it would be wise for us to trade back, you know, maybe to the Dolphins at 13 or Tennessee at 15 and draft somebody that's, you know, in that range. I just don't really want us to reach with that 10th pick. We can't afford to do that unless, I mean, I love Miles Jack, but since the concerns about the knee, I just don't know if it's worth taking the risk at number 10.
Well, I hear you, but to me, but then my counter question for you, and I'd like to see you answer this and hear what you have to say. What do you consider a reach? What do you consider a risk? Because I think every guy you pick has a certain level of risk. You mentioned Miles Jack in the knee. Leonard Floyd, how does he go into a 4-3? Jack Conklin, upside as a tackle. Can he ever go to the left side? I mean, all these guys have a certain amount of question marks when you make that decision to pick them. There is no real safe pick, you know what I mean?
Hello?
Yeah, you got to listen on the phone, man. You got to turn your computer off.
Hello?
All right, goodbye. Thank you.
This is from Basco. He says, tell John that MJ drafted Kwame Brown. Forget Banks. Okay.
That's a fair point.
Yeah.
He did.
You've got players right now. They had a practice today. From what
yep.
I understand, Victor Cruz did not practice with the team, but he ran some drills outside.
He stretched and then he was off on the side, yeah.
So that's good news.
Michael Thompson out there, by the way. Burhey out there.
All right.
Yeah, they were doing drills. I did not see Bennett Jackson. He was not out there. But it looked like Thompson and Burhey were both out there running around.
Let me ask you this, because,
yeah.
You know, obviously we cover the team. We hear how excited this organization is for Burhey, for Jackson, for Thompson.
Yeah.
And I truly, I mean, you know, based on what I've heard, like, I truly feel that they're comfortable and confident going into this season with one of those guys competing and winning the job opposite Landon Collins.
It would certainly appear so.
But every time, but whenever you like anything you read in regard to, you know, what the Giants need, oh, you know, they're definitely going to have to leave the draft with a safety. I mean, so, but I think those are people that really maybe, you know, haven't really heard exactly what the Giants are communicating based on the talent that they're confident in that they already have on this roster. Will you be shocked? I guess my question is, will you be shocked if the Giants end this draft on Saturday with no safety selected?
Shocked, no. Mildly surprised, probably, only because, you know, I think You want to have as many options there as possible. I never thought the best option this year was to draft a safety. I thought if you're going to bring one in, you would rather bring in a veteran to try to bring those young guys along and be a stabilizing force back there. They've used these picks on these safeties already, whether you're talking about Cooper Taylor or Michael Thompson or Bennett Jackson. I mean, Matt Burhe, they've used picks on young safeties. They have young safeties. There's no dearth of young safeties. They have plenty of those. But I thought a veteran always made more sense. So, no, it would not shock me if they did not draft a safety.
Yeah, a lot of people
it would not shock me.
A lot of people that feel that that's absolutely – like, I feel that they're absolutely going to leave this draft with a tackle.
I'll tell you what. You know who one player is that I love in this draft and I'm curious to see how he goes is the Carl Joseph kid out of the big safety, who a lot of people think – would be a top 15, 18 type of pick if he wasn't coming off an ACL. I'm curious to see when a team rolls the dice on him and takes him. And if he's there in the second round, if the Giants are comfortable with that knee, if they will consider him at safety in round number two. He flies around as a – that kid's a playmaker.
He had
six interceptions in the first four games last year before he got hurt.
Is that your guy – like, is that your guy that's on your radar that you'd like to see the Giants draft in later rounds?
Well, again, it's always hard for me to judge with the medical stuff because I just don't know what the knee looks like on the test.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Well, let me ask you this before in the show, but is there a guy on your radar that you are – just you've got a huge man crush on him, and you're just like, man, if this guy's available in this round, I really want the Giants to take him.
There are a couple guys I like in the second round. I think you're in prime position to pick a wide receiver.
Right.
To me, you have five really good wide receivers in this draft. I'll be quick: Treadwell, Coleman, Doxson, Michael Thomas, and Will Fuller. If one of those five guys are there when the Giants pick in round number two, I think it's an excellent pick.
I hear a lot of great things about Fuller, by the way.
Me too. And then if you don't get one there, I think a Tyler Boyd type, a Rashard Higgins type, a Braxton Miller type, those can be third round options. But I want a receiver on day two of this draft. I want a receiver on day two.
All right. It's been fun. Thank you, Matt Miller, for joining us. Great insight on the draft and, of course, getting everybody ready. Are you on with Lance tomorrow?
No, tomorrow I believe it is Lance. And it's not you, it must be Dottino, I guess, right?
So it's Lance and Dottino. And then Thursday, the day of the draft, I will be on with Paul Dottino. And I'm working on getting Greg Cassell on with us on that show.
That'd be great.
On that show as well. So still more Big Blue Kickoff Live shows for you, getting you ready for Thursday night. We thank everybody for tuning in. For all of us here at the Giants, have a fantastic afternoon.
Thank you.
All right, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got through. 35, 30.